I'm standing on the shore of Lake Michigan with Joel Brummeyer, head of the Alliance for the Great Lakes. We see a tiny corner of Indiana, and then just the blue horizon.
It's pretty dramatic. When you stand on the shore of the Great Lakes, you absolutely believe that there's no way that this water could ever all be used up. And yet, we've seen things play out in the southeast and southwestern United States where resources that were thought to be inexhaustible eventually found their bottom. We don't want to get anywhere close to that here in the Great Lakes Basin.
Consider the mighty Colorado River, where so much water is diverted for irrigation, the river often slows to a trickle by its end. That's why the Great Lakes Compact became law. It's part of an agreement between the 8 Great Lakes states and 2 Canadian provinces to decide who gets Great Lakes water. It's like this invisible international shield that keeps Great Lakes water inside the basin. What helped spur the agreement was a fear that Great Lakes water would end up around the world or out west, filling swimming pools in the desert.
To people in the Great Lakes region, suggesting that that water could be transferred to other parts of the continent is like someone suggesting that the Rocky Mountains could be transferred to other parts of the United States.
Peter Annan's the author of The Great Lakes Water Wars. That fear has a basis in fact. In 1998, Canadian officials okayed a proposal to let the Nova Group ship tankers of water to Asia.
It was seen as the nightmare potential legal precedent, because if you can send Great Lakes water to Asia, where can't you send it?
Lawmakers realized they had nothing on the books to stop it. After years of negotiations, they announced their agreement. Annan says it did more than just prevent diversions. It contained provisions to conserve water and protect the ecosystem.
It wasn't just copying other compacts in the past. What this compact was trying to do was recognize that the environment had a seat at the table and that humans weren't just sort of carving up the water for human sake.
The compact sets a very high bar for decisions to be made about who gets Great Lakes water and who doesn't.
Again, Joel Brummeyer from the Alliance for the Great Lakes.
If you don't have strong legal protections in place for Great Lakes water, anybody can come and make a claim and say, I want some of that.
But for now, it's not Asia or the parched West going after Great Lakes water. It's our own suburbs. The compact is getting its first major test in Waukesha, a city just outside the basin. Waukesha is draining down its aquifer. It's had to build an elaborate system to make its water drinkable.
We're taking the chemical, we're adding it to the water, it's attracting all the radium.
Dan Dukniak, the general manager of the Waukesha Water Utility, says they have to add a slurry of chemicals here in the well to filter out radium. It's a radioactive element that can increase the risk of bone cancer.
As you draw down deeper and deeper into these aquifers, you get to a point where it's brackish water or higher levels of salt.
But do you have any wells that aren't a problem?
No. Simple answer, no.
Under the compact, towns outside the basin aren't allowed to get Great Lakes water. That's because the basin is like a giant bathtub, and outside of it, water flows away, so water is lost to the Great Lakes. The compact is designed to keep water in. There are a few exceptions. Towns that are right on the basin line, or like Waukesha in a county that is, can apply, but even then, it's a tough process. Eric Ebersberger with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources tosses Waukesha's application on the table.
Well, we've probably got 8 inches of documentation here.
And this isn't everything?
No, it's not everything. Significance is it's the first application for a diversion to a community within a straddling county. So a lot of people see it as setting a precedent for future such applications, if there are any.
Waukesha will need approval from all 8 Great Lakes governors. From now on, every town that wants to divert Great Lakes water is going to have to go through something like this. But does that mean the compact is ironclad? An upcoming Natural Resources Defense Council report finds some states already missed deadlines for water efficiency and conservation goals. Several environmentalists worry that could put the compact at risk as water scarcity increases. Henry Henderson's director of the NRDC's Midwest program.
Clearly, Congresses can undo what they have done. What becomes vulnerable is having a lackadaisical, tattered, and underinvested in set of institutions. Things that work right don't invite reform.
A law professor at Wayne State University, Noah Hall, thinks it's unlikely, though, the federal government would tamper with the compact.
There are dozens of interstate water compacts. Some have been in existence for almost 100 years. And Congress has never disturbed the settled agreements in any of those compacts.
And if the states do fall behind, Hall says, there's a tried and true remedy, lawsuits.
You rarely get environmental protection without citizens going to court and enforcing it.
Citizens can be powerful outside of court, too. When the Nova Group wanted to ship water to Asia, it was public outcry that turned the tide. Either way, vigilance must also come from citizens who have made their lives on the Great Lakes.
I know everybody's trying to take our water away from us.
Like these gentlemen, who gather every morning for coffee near the western border of Lake Superior.
You got to watch these governors from Michigan and Wisconsin and Illinois and Minnesota. Once they get in a room together, a lot of things can happen. And they'll go right through their congressmen, and that, within 2 years, you can have water trailing out of here faster than you can make it. So
the compact is designed to prevent that, even in the face of climate change and exploding population counts, if everyone does his part or is made to do so in court. I'm Lynette Kalsness.